Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Driving More Show. Hi, I'm Paul. I'll be your host this evening. And looks like I am flying solo this evening on this one. Everyone else is chickened out, probably because of the horrible weather. It's been a tough one, hasn't it? So hopefully, folks, you have all nice and warm and dry at home and staying nice and safe, because, yeah, it is pretty nasty out there. I've got a couple of clips from my weekend covering of the Farrer Palmer Cup that we'll have a watch of, as well as we'll talk about a whole bunch of stuff that's has been going on. Not much rugby being played. I mean, someone I did see some complaints on Twitter sort of suggesting that that New Zealand rugby were messing around by not having any rugby available. Well, of course there was rugby available. There was the Farrer Palmer Cup was on TV, and then also still some of the club competitions were still going on. We had the final round in the Auckland one before they hit finals next weekend. So there was rugby going on, just because there isn't top flight male rugby or professional male rugby going on. There's no rugby going on that one. So plenty of that going on. Me, I was at Waihee Rugby Club this weekend as we hosted Thames Valley under 20s for a pre-season warm-up game for them. And we followed that up by our prize giving for the or awards night for the season. Unfortunately, I didn't pick up anything, but then again, I wasn't playing, so no big surprise there, eh? on that one. But yeah, had a good evening with them. Didn't mean I felt a little bit ropey before heading up, driving up to County's Manukau to watch County's Manukau Heat take on Wellington Pride in the Farrer Palmer Cup. So that was my kind of rugby weekend this weekend. So rep rugby is starting to kick off. Not only is it there at the Farrer Palmer Cup and NPC at that sort of top level, but it's also, say, the under-20s and the age grades are also taking place, also sort of kicking off as well. So even though the club rugby season's coming to a close, or has come to a close in some places, there's still more rugby on the menu for many. A couple of items that have been in the news, but mainly coming out of out of Europe, out of the UK there. And the RFU is recommending banning of trans athletes for women's rugby on that one. And as someone said on Twitter, you let the players decide. And that's definitely my point of view. And all the reaction I've had from, or that I've seen from female players, is that they don't have a problem with trans players playing female rugby. So to me, I'm not sure there really is a problem here and are we actually trying to sort out a problem that doesn't really exist on this one? So good evening to those of you who are joining me. Oh, yeah, sorry, I should say the Driving More Show comes to you at 8 p.m. every single Monday. And that's live on Facebook, YouTube and Twitter. Or you can catch the podcast. Just search for New Zealand Sports Radio as well. To me, that it looks like it's solving a problem that doesn't really seem to exist. Is rugby getting caught up in this in the culture war rather than actually rather than actually sort of dealing with a particular problem. I don't know, it's sort of an international, but I don't know, I've never heard of any trans athletes who have got that far. So, so I do wonder if we're trying to solve something that doesn't, that isn't a problem there with that one. They're saying it's on safety grounds, and yet we have over 100 players taking World Rugby, the RFU and the WRU to court around concussion around head injuries and that side of things. Carl Heyman is one of those. A number of different illnesses that have come up, including early onset dementia, CTE, epilepsy, Parkinson's, motor neuron disease, some really ones there in that one the players have been exposed to on that one. So to my mind, here we are, we're having all these problems. We've had Ryan Jones come out, who's like 41, so he's younger than I am, and can't remember conversations with his wife, etc. So look, why are we still persisting on allowing high tackling? I don't know. We really need to bring that tackle height down. There's plenty of evidence that it's causing issues for players post career. I really think we should be bringing that down. So, that's going on, and we'll see how that one progresses there. Nocturnal Rights says, what will female players say after playing a trans woman and getting a range of injury and concussions? As I say, the players that I've heard from who have played with or against trans players have not had any problems or about it. We do have players in the NPC, for example, where some of the props weigh literally twice as much as some of the wingers. So there are definitely size discrepancies there in that one there as well. So and you think about the Farrah Palmer Cup at the moment, again, talking more generally about sort of player welfare. You've got 16-year-olds. The game I watched at the weekend had a 16-year-old debuting, and she was up against full-time professional Black Ferns and also had full-time professional Black Ferns on her side as well. That kind of thing would not be allowed in the men's game. You wouldn't allow a 16-year-old to run out onto a senior club game, and never mind play an MPC game. And remember, MPC doesn't have those All Blacks involved, but it does have full-time professionals involved. So, at the moment we do need to build that depth in the women's game, because as I say, 16-year-olds up against All Blacks. Again, you've got to wonder about the player welfare side of that one as well. She did absolutely fine at first 5-8 for Wellington. They went on to win the game. And obviously, you have to be a very good player to come through that quickly. Just show you the sort of the lack of depth or the lack of stepstones or stepping stones or pathways that need to be in place for the women's game. We need to grow as well on that side of things. Nocturnal Rights again in the live chat. If World Rugby can't get concussion under wraps, despite clamping down on headshots, might mean giving the game up for everybody. Look, I think at the moment, listening to, and I can't remember where I heard or read this, was talk that basically World Rugby is trying to encourage the height of tackle heights to come down rather than mandate it, which you could do. And you've probably heard, or you may have heard, Boa on our on the podcast, who has his safe tackle framework that he has set up. That includes a line across the chest, so you have to tackle below that, which is definitely further down than current tackle heights, which are quite often up around the shoulders. It can be brought down, it can be made safer. At the moment, it's just a matter of getting the will to make it happen. we're just going to see, does it have to be, can they encourage it down, or do they have to mandate it down? And we'll see how that discussion goes on. Some of that will come about by what we hear, or what happens with that concussion litigation that is happening over in the UK. One of the lawyers said there that it wasn't just about the money, but it was also about stopping or changing the laws so it doesn't continue going forwards on that. LBC's lower tackles also cause head injuries for the tackler. It can do, yes, but the research shows that the more dangerous ones that lead to more head clashes and to more concussions and more head injuries are the upright tackles. That's what the research shows. Looking at that, and it's about how you can, what pieces can you alter to make things safer on that one. But but it is about getting it down. It's, if you take that head height down, you can still catch a hip or a knee. That is very true. The research shows that those are safer tackles to be making for the number of head clashes that you get per tackle. It should be research led rather than emotive or led, where we kind of think, oh, I've seen that happen, therefore let the numbers actually that show that it's safer to bring down those tackles. And it is what the higher tackles, let's be honest, have only come in during professionalism, as we've had more rugby league coaches come over, and that tackles were lower prior to that. And so if anything, it's taking rugby back to those golden days that everyone says that they want to watch. We'll just wait and see how that lawsuit goes, but it's gone. But the first step was to say, hey, we're thinking about doing it and talking. But now it looks like it's taken the next step forward to actually starting to happen. I think New Zealand Rugby is one of the ones that is actually is in a safer place from that, because ACC covers them on that side of things, rather than necessarily sued and being able to sue the unions here on this one. LB says, I guess there'll be no more holding players up to get the ball back then. Yep, it would mean that's something that has definitely been part of Ireland's armory with Joe Schmidt, was that choke tackle. You had the two players holding the player up and getting a turnover from all. Yep, you will definitely see less of that. And Nocturnal Rights asked me, do you remember the concern about headshots was over spinal injuries rather than concussion? I didn't remember that. That's where the concern was. But I do know that there's some players would like to see lifting the line out removed again, because of falling from that height is dangerous from that point of view, more skeletal rather than concussion on that one. But at the moment, I don't think we'll be seeing lifting the lineup going anywhere. It has been removed from various junior grades in New Zealand, that show you're not allowed to lift in the line out, and it's something that comes up as more at more senior levels. So that's all the kind of safety side of things on that one. When I was driving up to go to two counties to go watch counties versus Wellington, I was listening to a cycling podcast, and it's been the Tour de France this past 3 weeks. And one of the podcasters was talking about, one of the journalists behind the scenes said, yeah, one of the pieces of advice I was given was to be positive. You only have one down day during the tour. And I must admit, the way that we've had all the negativity around the All Blacks sort of mess it's been this past week. And I will get on to talking about that later. Just, I guess, length of the season as well. I was feeling all a bit sort of jaded about rugby. And it was a good reminder to say that it's good to it's good, yeah, to stay positive. I did really enjoy being at the ground and seeing that Farrell Palmer Cup game. It did help bring back some of the joy of watching the professional end of the game after what has been a pretty negative week. Let's be honest with the way that the All Blacks thing has gone. Christopher Bates says, yeah, he thinks it's and it's 16 to life, but I think it needs to lift. But only 13 in Wales. That's interesting on that one. But I do know that there is age grade restrictions on that one. And yes, not so much. We did used to have you would have to support but not lift, and that became such a grey area, as so many things are in rugby, that they just gave in and just said, yeah, you can lift on that one. A bit like with the put into the scrums. They know they're going to feed it, so now you're allowed to stand even towards your own side of the tunnel. You don't have to put it down the middle anymore. They just sort of give in on some of these laws that they can't be bothered or enforcing, or are considered too difficult to enforce on that one, don't they? Let's be honest. So let's just backtrack over what's been happening with the All Blacks. So they came out and talked on our post game on the Saturday, and then on Sunday morning we had that release by the CEO, just a basic written press release, and then we had basically ended up having all week with radio silence from New Zealand Rugby. This really was a case of how not to do public relations. Let's be honest here. Cancelling a media conference when the media were already in the hotel ready to do it, so it's cancelled at the last minute. A contractor, who admittedly has been a contractor for a very long time with New Zealand Rugby and the All Blacks, says that she made the unilateral decision to cancel that to protect Ian Foster from the questions, and that how the press were out for blood. Well, that really kind of shows you the approach that that New Zealand Rugby has to the media, seen them as this adversatorial group. You've got one of the biggest tours this century that's just happened. Now, yes, someone reminded me about the British and Irish Lions tour, this one against Ireland was still one of the biggest sort of occurrences of in rugby this year, this century. And then for a contractor to cancel a media call at the end of it seems very strange to me. The fact that she claim she hasn't asked her superiors or asked for any sort of feedback as to whether you should or shouldn't go ahead just doesn't sound right to me. I understand that's what she has said, but to my mind, I say it doesn't ring true, and it looks like her throwing herself under the bus on that one, or taking one for the team there, because I think it feels like the call would have come from further up the hierarchy. And if she didn't consult with someone further up, then she should be fired for basically not consulting. You don't make that's a very big call to make, and was a bad thing to do. We then saw New Zealand Rugby basically circle wagons and just ignore everybody, not talk to anybody, not talk to any of the press, not put their social media accounts shut down. They weren't talking to the fans. There was nothing coming out of New Zealand Rugby apart from rumours speculation, which, let's be honest, is a joke at the end of the day. If the fans are supposed to be these stakeholders, then you need to engage them. You don't ignore them for a week during what is, I said, straight after one of the biggest tours in recent times. So it just shows the contempt that, for my mind, that New Zealand Rugby shows to the fans. If you didn't want to talk to the, go to the media, you could send it, you could do your own interviews and put them out via social media and ask some of those questions that were being asked by fans. Even if you script the question and answer. But do something about talking to fans. We had, then when we actually came to the sort of the announcements we've had since then, it kind of like you have the press conference around the squad announcement. It's like, well, I want to talk about the squad. Yeah, but you've not talked to us all week about you and your future, but you want to talk about the squad. Sorry. But that's, then if you wanted to, just, if you want to have a press conference just about the squad, then you should have had a separate conference and talking about you. And then to say, I recognise the need, but if I'd known the need, I would have talked. It's like some of the stuff that was said there was just didn't make sense, was contradictory in the same sentence. So it wasn't great and was real bad PR by New Zealand Rugby. And I think it has upset and turned off a lot of the New Zealand a lot of the New Zealand fans around New Zealand Rugby. Now, when it comes to the games, the public will get back, will get behind the All Blacks. The public love the All Blacks, but they do not like New Zealand Rugby. And I think New Zealand Rugby has just painted them into further selves, themselves further into a corner. When you think that they had an announcement about reimagining rugby, and one of the things they said in there was that they would engage with the media more. Well, not walking the walk, are you folks? On that one, they've also said that this joint business venture with Silver Lake will be transparent. You're like, seriously? We're talking about a New Zealand Rugby, which is just shut up shop and just not talk to anybody. Having a business venture with a private equity firm, which are notoriously not transparent, and somehow these two non-transparent organisations are supposed to suddenly have a transparent one. Yeah, can't see that one at all on this. This is Simon says, it's true, no one likes New Zealand Rugby. And Dr. Wright says, the upset of the New Zealand Rugby public is not just about Foster, but the results. It's about how the game has been run and directed. And it's the way Foster got given the job. It looked like an old boys club. Hansen got it via old boys club as well, as he took over from Graham Henry. And this whole Blazers and old boys setup. Simon's calling it, saying it's basically the Kremlin of rugby. Look, I'm not sure about that, but it's definitely it's an old boys club where you have a Blazer, and you do wonder if some of the people who are on that board prove that diversity are there because they're yes people as well. So you do want it's definitely not a transparent organisation. It's not one that feels it has to answer the public. It feels it has to answer to the unions only that that vote them in, and then the unions have to do as they're told once they're voted in as well. So there we go with that one. Simon, you're quite right. Hansen had experience previously with coaching Wales. That is very true. But it was one of those sort of handovers, and hey, it worked then, therefore we'll do it again. It'll work again. And if you look at who the Black Ferns coaching setup, well, it's Hansen's daughter, isn't it, that's come through. Now, she may be a very, very good coach. But I say it smacks of nepotism through the whole of New Zealand rugby as a whole, not just that one appointment. It's not a good look, and it happens time and time again. It's one of the, as Nocturnal Wright says, this is why the rugby public are upset with how the game has been run here. And I'll take a break for a drink and get that point. So, finally, I mean, there was an expectation going into that Friday that Foster was going to have a director of rugby, that Sam Kane will be stood down as captain, and that a whole set of other things might happen. And in the end, nothing happened on Friday at all. Sam Kane was still the captain. Whilst I personally have anything wrong with that, it's definitely not the feeling from the public that they were looking for. since then.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Plumtree and Moore have been relieved of their duties, and Jason Ryan has come in from the Forts coach from the Crusaders. It's funny how someone put on Twitter that Ian Foster had one of the reasons he got the job was supposed to be the strength of his coaching team, of the assistants. And hence, what have we seen? We've seen one of Razor's team getting brought in as two of those went. Why were these people considered good or the right people after the in the December review, after losing to both Ireland and France in November, and suddenly now they're not? After three more games, suddenly they decided no, they're not good enough to be in there. So look, it doesn't it's not great from that point of view. It's going to be tough for the Crusaders because they've lost their backs coach, is heading up to Leinster. Now they've lost their forwards coach. So boy, oh boy, Razor's got a job in his hands next year with the new brand new coaching setup at the Crusaders. So yes, we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Is this a bit of a hospital pass for Jason Ryan? Should he have waited? Did he really want to go in under Foster? We will have to see on that one. Not to write. Yeah, Plumtree have to go. Yeah, from what I understand, he got poor reviews in December, and he got poor reviews again from the players. So he had to go. I agree. The fact that I guess to me, Foster had to go as well. But he's still there. If he doesn't go now, I can't see how you can get rid of him before the Rugby World Cup. I think if you wait until after the Rugby Championship, I mean, you're giving whoever comes in next to no time at all to prepare a team for the Rugby World Cup. So to me, this was when they had to get rid of him if they were going to get rid of him. Otherwise, he sticks in until the end of next year. From that point of view, which I think some people overseas will be happy with. So that's really the All Blacks side of things. It's been a disastrous week where New Zealand rugby just went quiet and then not much happened on all of this ones. Simon says John Mitchell got the All Blacks a year before the World Cup, but that's a that's a long, long time ago on that one. Something else that has come out over the last week is around Super Rugby and how Simon's brought this one up that both Andrew Forrester and Stan Sport have backed Australian rugby Rugby Australia, that if they want to go with a domestic only competition and not a Trans-Tasman Super Rugby competition, they will be happy with that one. We'll have to see how those conversations go. The reviewer says Foster can't afford to lose Bledisloe. I agree, but would anybody want to step into the job if I say at such short notice to the Rugby World Cup? It's come to light that after the Commonwealth Games, we'll have the CEOs of Rugby Australia and New Zealand Rugby in a car together driving from Manchester to London. So a couple of hours, they're stuck in a car talking to each other about this. So hopefully they do come around. I think we do need a Super Rugby Trans-Tasman. I don't think a Super Rugby New Zealand or Super Rugby Aotearoa and Super Rugby Australia and Australia or Super Rugby AU are good for either side of that one. So the that car journey is going to be important, but some egos need to put to one side and discussed around this. New Zealand rugby showing again its ability to burn bridges. First off, with South Africa and how they pulled out of Super Rugby, or now with Australia over the last couple of years as well, and still saying they don't see why. Comments in articles saying that New Zealand rugby doesn't understand why any money should be going to Australia. So we'll see how it all goes. Let's hope they do come to some agreement that works for both sides. Talking about trying to mend bridges, apparently the All Blacks 15, which is heading off, which will be playing in that November window up in Europe, is apparently going to be having a, it looks like they're going to have a game against South Africa A in France. Apparently they'll be playing four games during that series. So good on that one, with Leon McDonald, the Blues coach, looking at coaching that side. And they'll be playing against Razor, who is with Ronan O'Gara, and will be coaching the Barbarians. Could we see Razor and O'Gara coaching Ireland next? Who knows? We'll have to wait and see. With the talk of Farrell perhaps potentially going to England, Australia, talking to Eddie Jones. So boy, oh boy, the merry-go-round of head coaches after the Rugby World Cup is already kicking off on that one. And I'm sure there'll be plenty of speculation and comments around all of that. Maurice Bass says, why didn't Foster just do every New Zealander a favour and quit? He's not going to quit. Dearie me, he's got this plum job. He thinks he can turn things around, so he's going to do it unless he gets pushed. He wants to be the All Blacks head coach. I can't see him ever stepping down on that one. Simon also pointed out that Tonga has qualified for the World Cup. Yes, congratulations to them. So that means that Hong Kong, along with Kenya, Portugal and the USA will be in the qualification tournament, what used to be called the repechage, for the final place at the Rugby World Cup. The USA clearly has to come out of that, considering all the investment and hope that's been put into them and the fact they've got a Rugby World Cup over in the USA, not in the too distant future. So a lot of that one there. And World Rugby Council is talking about an Asia America Pacific Trophy Rugby Championships with eight teams in it. Oh, look, that just gets messy. And what we've seen with the Rugby Championship, with Super Rugby, is you want to be in your own time zone. Putting things across multiple continents really does not work very well at all. The reviewer reckons that Portugal will get through, but we'll see. I didn't see the Portugal or the USA. No, I can't see Kenya or Hong Kong making it there. So that's kind of where those sort of things all are. At the weekend, I was at the Farrer Palmer Cup for Wellington versus Counties. Both sides had lost their opening round of games before coming into... for coming into that one. Congratulations to Wellington getting the win. And let's hear from their captain first. I had a quick chat with her after about how things are changing in women's rugby and how important it was for them to get the win in what is a quick tournament in the Farrer Palmer Cup.
Counties versus Wellington in the Farrer Palmer Cup. And you got across the line twice for two tries yourself. Must be very happy with getting a couple of meat pies.
Yeah, always good to cross the line, but it's just the work of my teammates opening up the space for me. So all I got to do is cross the line.
Oh, dear, being very modest, say you've got a lot of hard work out there today. The game did ebb and flow. It looked like that it really just came down to your girls taking their opportunities well, and whereas County perhaps just missed out on something. It's a tight game.
Yeah, counties are a physical side, and we love that kind of game. We love to front up as well, so it's good to take those opportunities where we can and execute them.
And in a short season, getting your first win on the board it's in the second round, that's really important, isn't it, in these short Farrer Palmer Cup campaigns?
Yeah, definitely. The first games in FPC are super important, so we're super happy to get the win today.
And finally, look, it's been a big year for women's rugby. We've had, obviously, Super Rugby Aupaki and the Women's Rugby World Cup coming up. Are you noticing a different energy in the squad or with all this change going on?
Yeah, we are adapting really well to the changes, and they're positive for us, and we can't wait to keep trending upwards.
Great. Thank you so much for your time, and enjoy the victory.
Thank you.
So that was the captain of Wellington, Joanna Nagwu, in that one. So she picked up two tries there. Let's also hear from the Wellington fullback, Harmony Owani, who got the opening try for Wellington.
Wellington versus Counties with Harmony Owani. Look, you scored the winning try last year, and you got the first one today. You must like playing against Counties.
Yeah, definitely. They're a really good team to come up against, and we know our strengths. And to score on them for the winning try and score the first try today, man, just brings back the win from last year.
Very good. And obviously, coming off the back of a loss in the first round, getting this win is really important for your campaign, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. It was a really hard game against Canterbury last week. We definitely pushed through. We prepped really well from Monday this week. We had a bit of difficulties. We had to bus up. We don't know if we're flying back today, so we definitely adapted as a team, and I'm really happy with our outcome.
Yeah, that's because of the horrible weather down in Wellington, obviously. So, yeah, it's a bit of adversity, but you managed to put it out on the park today, which is great to see. Look, there's been a lot of change this year with Super Rugby Aupaki. We've got the Rugby World Cup coming up. Is there a different energy around the squad if you're finding this year?
Yeah, definitely. The girls that are playing for the World Cup or attempting to make the team, they definitely bring a lot of experience in. They just bring the girls together. They have the culture. They bring their Black Ferns culture into our Wellington team, which is really good to learn off and just come off with that.
Yeah, and it's an amazing team where you've got a 16-year-old running the cutter, and then all the way up to Black Ferns as well, as you say. So it's a good mix of youth and experience you've got in there.
Yes, definitely. Wellington has always been a campaign where we want to build the young girls coming into the Black Ferns and also Super Rugby. Yeah, I'm really grateful that they're like that, so help us young girls to be able to reach higher.
Well, it sounds like you've got a really good culture down there. Congratulations on the win and good luck for the rest of the season.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
And it was really nice of Harmony afterwards saying how much she enjoyed having that the interview. She had a few. She said, that was one of the nice ones. So I'm going to try and send her the link so she can see it. On that one. So look, you can see there how important it was and how happy they were with that win. Also, the impact that having the All Blacks in there makes to the less experienced and some of the younger players in that one. Finally, the last interview I've got is with Hazel Tubik, who is the new Black Fern. Plays 15, has been playing very well for Counties for a number of years now, and her kicking nearly kept did keep Counties in this, but wasn't enough to win this one. So let's just hear from her about the, and you see how much pain it meant for them, how much hurt from them, and what's the difficulty of playing for a Super Rugby team for the Black Ferns and for the Farrer Palmer Cup. Most players will only play for two teams, either the Super Rugby and the NPC, or Super Rugby and the All Blacks. From the men's side, the women's side, they have to juggle even more jerseys than that, and different sets of coaches as well.
After Counties versus Wellington with Hazel Tubik. I mean, Tough start to the season for you guys. We're two losses there, but that game really ebbed and flowed. You really had your opportunities in that game.
Yeah. First two games of losses, it's always hard. I think we rebuilt a bit from last week's game, but as you saw, there's a couple of drop balls down the sideline when we created opportunities and stuff, and times like that probably is why we led to the loss today.
Yeah, obviously you were kicking your goals well today, which was good to see. I think it was a 3 from 3, which is two from three, which kept you girls in it for this one. With such a short season, how difficult is it going to be to get going now, having two losses, you think?
Yeah, with the way the season goes in this competition, it is kind of like if you lose one game, you're kind of still in it, but when you lose two, it starts to become quite hard. So we've still got another four games, I think, or three games. So the focus now will just be to try and win those next games or push on and do better for the next week. And, there's also that thought of the relegation as well, so trying not to be in that position.
And it's been a busy old year for you with your Super Rugby Opaki up in the Black Ferns as well, and now back with Counties. I mean, it's a packed season. How difficult is it concentrating on so many different things when you're in different squads all the time like that?
Yeah, that's quite hard, especially when you're jumping from the different kind of game plans and stuff. So, one team will want to play one game plan and the other's doing something else. And for your own individual skills, it's hard to kind of work on those kind of things. But, whatever jersey you're wearing, you've got to do your best to perform for that team and on that day, and worry about other things at another time. So, yeah, it's difficult, but you make your way through it.
And are you noticing a different energy in the Parapalma Cup squads and games with that Super Rugby, with the World Cup being there? Has it brought another level to the game?
Yeah, I think the teams across the board are like much more competitive, and as the games that we've seen so far from the first two rounds have been quite close, and there's a few teams that have really picked up their game and they're going to be tough competitors. So as previous years, you probably had a couple of teams that would be at the top, but now I think every team could win it on the day, so it's really down to who wants it and who's going to perform on the day.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily down to who wants it. I think you say those micro skills that occasionally just... I don't think there's any lack of effort out there today.
Yep.
But good luck with the rest of the season, and thank you so much for your time.
Oh, no worries.
Cheers.
Thank you very much.
So there you go. Those are my post-match interviews with from the game. Just to bring it up to speed with the rest of the results, Canterbury beat Auckland 33-27. So 2 wins for Canterbury. Season top of the Premiership table with 7 teams in there, and that does mean there are a number of buys. So both the Bay of Plenty and Waikato have won their opening games. They've only played one game so far. Other games in the Premiership, Manawatu Cyclones lost to Bay of Plenty 26-37, which means that Manawatu, Counties and Wellington are the two, three that are kind of in that relegation fight at the moment, and Wellington's game, County's game against Manawatu is going to be absolutely key in that one. Over on the Championship side of things, Taranaki lost to North Harbour 10-21. Look, Taranaki is still a relatively new setup and still growing in this one, so they are going to find it tough going. Hawke's Bay lost 22-44 to Otago. Otago, the side that was relegated from the Premiership last year, so they're definitely going to be one of the strongest sides down there. And then Northland 29, Tasman 10. Again, Tasman, very young side that tends to find these seasons tough. So I mean, Northland and Otago, definitely two of the top two of the teams that we'll be finding it out. They expect come finals time for that promotion up to into the Premiership for next year. Thanks for the kind comments in the live chat about my coverage of the Farrah Palmer Cup and the Women's game. We'll try and keep that going for the full season of them. It is a short season. They don't have the crossover games in the same way that the men's do. So where the men have a 10-week season plus finals, on the women's side, it is only a 6-game season. And then the finals, or for the Championship, 5 games. Then all 6 teams do go into finals. It is a shorter season on the women's side of things, because the two sides are not as competitive. Obviously, this year the NPC does not have Premiership and Championship. It just has one league. isn't it? So it's a new format for the MPC. We'll talk about that in a couple of weeks' time when the MPC actually kicks off. Lots of chat in the live chat around that qualification tournament. Yes, it's at a neutral venue, so looking at either being France or Dubai, probably Dubai at the moment. Last one was in France from memory. There for that one. Both would be obviously neutral venues for all of those teams. What else was in the chat there? I think that's probably most. Oh yeah, there was a comment there also about the fact that yes, England, Scotland, and Wales are merging their sevens programs to be Team GB. They already did this for the Olympics, but now this is going to be a constant thing for the HSBC World Series. They'll still compete individually at the Commonwealth Games if they qualify, but otherwise, that is how. They are going to be there. Science says France would favour Portugal slightly. Absolutely would. Look, it's in their same time zone. Travel's easier. Of course, it's going to help them with that one. So that's how the GB team is going to work. It's going to be interesting because one of the things on women's rugby, and someone I'd like to talk to the head of women's rugby for New Zealand Rugby to figure out how New Zealand Rugby see the future of women's rugby. Because historically, sevens has been the pinnacle of the game, whereas in the men's side, it's been 15s is the pinnacle rather than the sevens side of things. Everyone wants to be playing internationally for 15s rather than sevens. It's not really and quite often sevens programs are development programs rather than necessarily an end goal in themselves. On the women's side, I'd say it's been the sevens has been the pinnacle. Now, with the defunding of those programs by some of those European teams, with the professional 15s leagues set up now in England and semi-professional in France, with the professionalization of the 15s game, is 15s going to become the pinnacle and the main game in the same way that it is in the men's side, or will sevens still stay as being the prominent one on the women's game? We'll have to wait and see how that all pans out, but it'd be interesting to see how different unions kind of envisage that and where their efforts should be placed in the coming years and how they think that's going to evolve. So it'll be interesting to see how that one all goes. As I say, to me, it looks like it's going towards 15s and that sevens will become, sidelined in the same way as it is in the men's side of things, and being the lesser of the two of the two versions of the sport. But yes, we'll just have to see how that kind of pans out in the years to come. That's it from me for this week, folks. Thank you, everyone who's joined in the live chat. Don't forget, 8 p.m. every Monday on Facebook and YouTube. Don't forget, if you want to support me and help me get to the sort of MPC and Farrell Palmer Cup games and to bring you that coverage, I was the only media apart from Sky who was there on the weekend, for example, then please become a supporter of New Zealand Sport Radio over at patreon.com/NZ Sport Radio. You also do get access to videos and podcasts that are specifically for supporters. So if there's any topic you would like to hear my opinion on and you are a supporter, I'm more than happy to do a video for that. Please keep it sports related rather than necessarily other things. Paul, what do you think the best type of wood is for dining furniture? Room furniture. You might not get a good video about that, as I say, sports related, do let me know. So thank you, everybody, catch you all next week. I've got my daughters next weekend, so I will not be at any games next weekend, so there'll be no post-match interview footage to show you, obviously we'll be watching plenty of rugby over the weekend and talking about it next weekend. Thank you, everybody.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.